Basically, world 150, I'm pretty sure. Last one was November 7th, 2016. Okay, bye.
It's never straight up and down.
It's never straight up and down. It's never straight up and down. It's never straight up and down. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. 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 Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
A wiggly world. A wiggly world. I can't hear myself. See here. Why? Why? Oh, there I am. Okay. No. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. 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 Yeah. No. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I'm trying to get my headphones to work. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. No. Still not working. Why can't my headphones just fall off like Stinkies? Wiggly world, because I'm gonna just mess with my headphones until hopefully they work. Hey, I think my headphones are working. Right. I'm a little low. I'm chewing gum. Chewing smart gum, everybody. Make me smart. Make me smart. Well, I've been away for like two and a half, 3 years. Pardon me while I chew my gum a little while because, you know, I need some energy from this. Welcome to Free Ball on Friday, on Thursday. A lot of things that I've been releasing lately are, let's see, what is the, oh yeah, that doesn't work. What is the new summer mid-series program of programming of We Talk Games. Let's see. The WCAC Flip Glee's Tuesday night special, 8 p.m. WTG Sundays. So that's how that goes. So today's Free Ball on Friday and Thursday. Need to hit the burp button. I just had some kimchi soup. I love it. Yeah. Nice and spicy. All right, I'm going to be done with my gum. Ah! Sorry, bumped my things. So I thought I'd get on the mic because, first of all, I've been having a lot of energy with my energy gum. It's just been coming at odd times. And my life's been so turmoilic. That's actually a word that I made up. Turmoilic. That... First of all, aren't you surprised that I'm behind a mic? Hey, thanks for being out there. Thanks for sticking around with me, especially on a three-year hiatus or whatever it's been. But I have been putting out some new summer programming on We Talk Games. There's something that's going on with Stinky the Game Master, who owns We Talk Games. And we haven't really discussed it yet because of there are gag orders and there are things that we can't talk about court cases because they're still ongoing. But I can now say this. There's a court case going on about the ownership of We Talk Games, Video Power Magazine, that involves some people. And... most likely for the rest of 2008. Where are we at? 2018? I'm gonna say we're in 2018. Pretty sure that's where we are. 2018. For the remainder of 2018, we will be having the summer programming occur. Mid-series programming. Which means, number one, we're mid-series, so we only have about another 1,000 shows to go after the mid-series ends. But it's summer programming, and probably the entire year will be summer programming. Some shows will be new. experimental programs, not dealing with arcade games. Maybe some will be arcade games, but for the it's getting too deep. We still can review arcade games live, new shows, but we have to keep it to a minimum. And so that's why we're trying experimental shows as well as some reruns that we enjoyed. And we just had Jez San on, which was a new interview Starcade of a rerun, an interview Starcade, things like this all entangled. I hope that you didn't stop listening. At least I haven't been doing tech talk. Nobody cares about tech talk. I take a drink here. Believe it or not, I'm still trying to I'm still trying to put out some new Wiggly's Book Club. However, I can't get the old ones out first. This is supposed to be easy, you know. Every 2 weeks, just put up a damn show. Boom. It's the amount of time going on right now, and I'll explain what's going on in my life. But let me first explain why I'm on the TTY network. I'm doing a Wiggly World. Why I got behind the mic. What finally motivated me. Because I always need a big motivation. And of course, today's was because of Wyoming implementing the grab ass jail sentences. First offense for grabbing someone's ass, a year in prison or $7,000. And $7,000 a year in prison, both, none, either, or both, or both. Second offense, $14,000, $20,000, I don't know. It doesn't have enough zeros. But 7 years in prison for grab ass. Now, I'm all behind the Me Too movement. And let's think about the Me Too movement. Why is Vince McMahon still a free person? And when Vince McMahon first starts cracking with the first person to come forward on the Me Too movement against Vince McMahon, how many hundreds of people are going to come forward and Me Too Vince McMahon into that? I mean, he has got to be the most molesting person on the planet Earth. So I can't wait for that to occur and to begin and let that snowball grow. Probably to state to the size of the state of Wyoming. I'm actually thinking. I don't know where the fines go in Wyoming. Is a $7,000 fine go to the government, or does it go to the person that got grab-assed? Because I'm thinking of going there because I got a pretty cute ass, I got to tell you. And I'm sure to get grabbed ass a couple times. And, you know, I could use the money. Believe me, I can use the money. Because my mom is has an early onset of Alzheimer's. And so that's something that is occurring in my life. That's something that's a part of my life now. And it's perfectly fine. Because I changed my opinions on life. And I no longer deal with life. I really haven't done blame for a long time. I am still jealous of people that have reached a modicum of success that I'm under the impression that I could do just as well. Sorry if I'm a little snuffed up. My left nostril isn't open. I should have ate some kimchi soup, which I did. But, you know, it's my own damn fault, too, because what do I really have out there? I might play a little clip of some extra voiceover stuff I just did for Super Meat Boy Forever. It's stuff that was never asked for. It was never requested. It was never wanted, and it probably is never wanted. So, but I have some, and I think it's kind of funny, so I might play just the end part, which has absolutely, there's absolutely no way it's in for the game. It's just something that I went on my rant about. But I was thinking about Super Meat Boy and Forever, because I did a lot of voice work for it, but I just cannot get the Super Meat Boy Forever, yell in the beginning. The thing that you can't skip. It's just like Guacamelee. You can't skip me. You're going to hear me. Too bad. Tough luck. Yeah, that's right. But, you know, I go, Super Meat Boy Forever. And you know, I that didn't was that. Super Meat Boy Forever. It just sounds weird. The best one I did was like, Super Meat Boy Forever. And that one I liked, but I don't know if any of those are going to be used, because if you watch the premiere that happened at CES or whatever on the Nintendo screen, I mean, that's I felt that significant. But more significant was, you know, I just read what the story is online, and I think to me it's a little slow. I think the animation could have been sped up a little bit. It's beautiful. Number one. Most beautiful thing you ever saw. Hashtag sad. But I read it, and because I'm reading as if I'm talking about these things going on, I'm an announcer, but someone recognized me and acknowledged me as a voice actor. And, you know, that was bigger than the Nintendo thing. And I asked Tommy, I said, is this somebody you know and you set them up to do that, or, you know, had someone write this? And no, it's completely legit, and it was nobody that I knew. So that's very nice, because being a voice actor is very different than being an announcer. Neither are easy, especially for me, someone who slurs their words, can't read, is blind and dyslexic. It's difficult for me. But I always try to get used to my lines. And whenever I get used to my lines, I try to say them naturally, as if it's the first time I'm just having a conversation with somebody. So it's really nice to be recognized for that. But the grab ass, okay, the grab ass thing. Now, Cenk Uygur, I think that's how you say it. And I'm gonna just say Molly, the girl on there, the cute girl, Molly. I'm gonna say Cenk, and I know her name. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank now. Probably because the gum hasn't kicked in very much. But, you know, they're doing their live show like a few minutes ago. That's why I had to jump on here, because, yeah, you know, they talk about politics. They talk about this stuff, that stuff. And then they brought up the Wyoming. I don't really even know what state it was. Wisconsin, one of these. And so I had to get on the mic, because grab ass is... And Molly, I honest to God, I wish I could recall her name, and I will. Molly was humiliated because she had her ass grabbed two times in her professional career, and it was she considered it traumatizing. Now, I see this here is problematic for me. Molly's grab ass definitely affected her that way. So I would like to know the details of that grab ass. And then they also brought up, you know, coaches smacking the football players on their ass and stuff like that. And, you know, I always thought that was kind of weird, but it's accepted. It's, you can't give someone a high five. They're in the game. So what are you going to do? Slap them on the back and, you know, get a piece of roast beef stuck out of their throat? No, you slap them in the ass. Why? Well, first of all, now I'm this is separate than Molly. I'm talking about myself and I'm talking about the human anatomy. And I'm talking about sexual assault and I'm talking about goosing your friend and smacking your friend's behind and giving someone a pinch on their butt cheek. I would never consider that sexual assault. Now, if you notice, I qualified that with the word friend. Your friend. Not a coworker that you're not grab-assy friendly enough with. Not someone that's trying to, you know, tap that ass or something like that. I know what song I'm going to end Wiggly World with today, and it's going to be the Goose song. I can't remember what the Goose song is by Benny Bell. So you have an ass. You have butt cheeks. They're butt cheeks. They don't do very much except sit on a toilet, and shit comes out of between your butt cheeks. It's your poop hole, okay, with a lot of meat around it. It's got a lot of meat. You would have to slap somebody really hard to, like, hit a bone, or you'd have to miss and hit the tailbone. And when you say, I'm going to kick you in the ass, or, you know, you kick them in the butt because that your butt isn't anything that hurt. That's like the only place. Well, people can punch you in the arm or they give you a Charlie horse, but if you get slapped on the hiney or kicked in your butt, you know, not like fucking punting a football, but if you get kicked in your butt by you know, during a conversation or whatever, you know, no one's trying to have sex with you. You know, that's your butt. I'm going to pinch you, and you pinch your butt. I don't know. I give somebody a goose. Bending over, you give them a goose. Why? Because they go, ho, ho, ho. You know, it's a surprise to get a finger near your butthole, but you're wearing clothes. It's just surprising. Like, you can't grab someone's dick or grab them by the pussy. That's completely different. But your butt is your sewage poop and a big beefy thing on a body to be innocent about. Now realize that I was born in 1966. And I don't like to say I'm this much old. So I've been around the sun, 52 times orbited the sun on our wonderful Earth. And I'll tell you, if the Earth had a butt, I would pinch the Earth's butt because I know the Earth that well. But honestly, to just say if you grab someone's butt that you're going to go to jail for a year, that's a big problem. Now, if it is an advance, and you know what, we had sexual harassment, oh Jesus, starting back in the 70s, and people would say that's called sexual harassment, and people, and then in the 80s I had to watch videos at Kmart and all this other stuff to show what is sexual harassment and what is not sexual harassment and all these things. And I think you could tell a difference between given, I mean, the only people I ever goosed were guys because I didn't feel like, well, and my girlfriends, because that's funny because you go, whoa, But I mean, even your parents or your grandparents will give you a goose because it's not child molestation. It's funny. It's like giving someone a hot foot, you know? Well, no one gives anybody a hot foot anymore, but that hurts, okay? But it's like there's no other place on your body where you could really do it. I mean, you could go coochie, 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 coo and tickle their ribs or under their armpits and stuff. And that's not sexual harassment if it's somebody that you know and is ticklish and the circumstances are right. But if someone wants to make money off you, you know, and you're just having a good time and someone gives you a pinch on the butt. And I don't mean a grab on the butt. I mean a pinch on the butt or smacks you in a hiney. And you're not on those terms with that person and the situation doesn't warrant that, then you say, that's inappropriate. I wouldn't say that you go to the police and have that person do a year in jail because they thought that you were friendly enough, you were on a level where you could give him a smack on the ass or you give him a pinch. You know, I'm going to give you a pinch. I'm going to get such a pinch. I know people that bite other people when they don't even have to know them very well. I'm going to bite you, you know, those type of things. And in different cultures, that's different. What about when, you know, you go to France and the people want to give you a little pecks on each cheek and sometimes you don't even touch a person, but you give them a peck on the cheek. I don't want you to kiss me, but that's a cultural thing, you know? I don't necessarily want people to hug me, but that's a cultural thing. Shake hands. You do a lot of things with your hands. You can do a lot of sexual things with your hands. And you probably do. And not just to other people. So, I mean, what's more, and your sense of touch is so, you know, refined and delicate. Now, if you smack someone in the ass and you like stick your finger through that it goes to the taint, you know, you're trying to get a what do they call it? Trying to get a grab? No. Geez, I can't recall. Well, I guess it'd be groping of some sort, but you know, those are different, but Jesus Christ, you know, you got to draw a line somewhere. And like I said, it depends on the situation. Now, they were Sink, and Johannes, Molly, Karen, Kareem, Caroline. Ugh, I know, it's so close. It's so close to my mouth. What they were saying was that, oh, that's, you know, the same amount of time you get if you're a molester or whack off in front of somebody or da ba 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 or in danger or da da da. And they were just talking about the sentence. But they were saying that grabbing someone's ass is molestation. And for Molly, it might have been. But that's a circumstance. You know, there's circumstances that have to be put with this. And, you know, how many more years do I have? I'm 52. Maybe I could grab another 30, but realistically, you know, if I don't get hit by a car, don't have a heart attack or whatever, I got 30, maybe, you know, 30, between 30 and 40. Let's put it that way. I'm going to be working till I die anyway, because I don't really have any retirement plans and stuff like that. Unless I fucking get off my ass and do something that maybe people might like one day, but I don't do things people like, you know. You could either be popular or you could be true to yourself. I don't know. And if you're true to yourself, then you have to have a lot of luck. And then once you get your luck, you have to earn your good fortune. people say they don't believe in luck, well, then they're not talking about the right kind of luck. Because if you want to make it doing the things you love, you need to get lucky and then be ready to work once you get that luck to be in some type of place where it can happen. Sounded a little gross, sorry. And some iced tea. So I wanted to talk about grab assy. And I might as well talk about the whole Me Too movement as well. I'm so happy that it's finally being taken seriously. But what I wasn't happy, I'm not going to say I wasn't happy with, but what I thought was so odd was the shock of, you know, Harvey Weinstein, you know, the casting couch. It's like, oh, no one's ever heard of the casting couch. Oh my gosh. He took advantage of women. Women were taken advantage of in order to go further in their career. This is unbelievable. Impossible. Unheard of. People actually doing sexual favors to other people in order to progress their chances of being discovered and breaking into an industry that is, you know, so incredibly different, difficult to break into. It's great that it's great that the Me Too thing came out, but the sensationalism of it is just astounding, because it's sort of like, well, what Hollywood director really doesn't have a casting couch or have ever done something like that? What actor or actress hasn't tried to butter up to somebody? Not grab your butter, your butters. Who never tried to swoon somebody else to make it easier for themselves? I mean, there's levels of buttering up. Now, walking in on somebody that has a lock, a steel gate that comes down on their door, and they're standing there in their underwears or just a shirt and tie, now that's something different. Being threatened to be ruined in the industry, that's something different as well. But so, you know, all this stuff is wrong. All this stuff is finally, I'm glad, you know, that people are taking it seriously and not just dismissing it. But the media response and the speeches given and the ribbons and all this other stuff, to me, it's just so ridiculous, because who in the world, in the entire world, even people that never saw a movie in their life, who in the entire world, hermits that live in caves, who in the entire world was it a surprise to that there's a casting couch? it boggles the mind. You know, you sign your soul away. It used to be, when you wanted a music contract, you know, you had to put coke up the A&R, the PR guy's nose. And I never did that. And subsequently, even though I did a better show than some of these other bands that played on the same card with us in New York, even though we brought down the house, it's sometimes literally, because I'd flip into the suspension beam, or I'd go through the stage for realsies. You know, I didn't schmooze with them. I didn't put coke up their nose and other things like this. But to be in the entertainment and you know, it's general people knew this. The public, JQ public, knew this. Or John, But I like Jay because it could stand for anybody's name. Even some types of other mammals. And maybe lizards. And boids. So not only did JQ Public know about this, but who in the movie industry didn't know about this? I mean, some things were shocking. Some of the people that were Ryan Seacrest, you know, that's kind of shocking. What the fuck that guy needs to, why does that guy need to do sexual harassment? He's like a perfect guy for gay guys, straight guys, not straight guys, maybe, who knows. And, you know, women, he's just like a magnet because he's a very good looking man, I think. So why would he have to take advantage of anybody? It doesn't make much sense to me. But, you know, whatever. I don't know anything about that. But this grab-assy thing is what got me on here. Now, usually it's some type of terrorist attack or, you know, Trump is elected president or he's incredibly stupid or whatever. But you don't even have to talk about Trump anymore. And talking about Huckabee Sanders, why are there even press briefings anymore? Why are there even press briefings anymore? And why is the press asking questions to her? Go out and find someone that lives in the street. Give them a cup of hot mashed potatoes and just ask them the questions you would ask Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And you'd get the same lies. You get the same answers. Probably more interesting and probably closer to the truth. We're in a ridiculous time with our government. And so here's the government part, I guess. I really didn't expect to do a government part, but it's free balling and my balls are free. Now, I'm sorry if I sexually assaulted you with my balls hanging out free. Is this thought crimes now? And is it going to be, you know, like Jesus thought crimes police? Trump. Oh, yeah. Okay. So here's the tax plan. Believe me, I'm not trying. This is not going to be a crap on Trump, I don't think. But here's what's happening. One thing that was enacted, and I'm not sure if it went through or not, but one thing that was in Trump's mind was if you're a waiter, waitress, dishwasher, the people that sit you, I can't remember what those people are called right now, host or hostess, I guess. If you pool your tips, meaning that, you know, the waitress or waiter doesn't get the full tip that's on the table, if you pool them all together and then you split everything evenly up between the different parts, however you do it, you know, everybody gets an equal part of the kitty. It's a team. Well, now, if you pool your tips, the owner of the restaurant could decide that they're going to keep that money instead of allowing you to split it between the people. And that's only if you pull your tips. If you pull your tips, she could keep all the loot, restaurant owner. So, okay, so there goes your whole reason to work as a waiter, waitress, or hostess and dishwasher. And these are some shitty jobs. And, you know, of course, probably the cooks and the things like that, but they might make a little bit more. I don't know. What do I know? I worked behind a popcorn, you know, movie theater thing. So I never got tips. Just a tip I got. Oh, whoa, yeah. I'm going to drink a little bit more of this here. Now this is one of those gimmick, real tall Diet Coke, zesty blood blood orange. I like the blood. When you drink, when you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, I feel happy. That's my church song. So they could take your tips. One thing. I'm going through a divorce, almost divorced. Just got papers on Quadro. I don't want to talk about that. If you want to look it up, I don't care. But I'm almost finished with my divorce. And in early December, I bought the home. I'm the only person paying on the mortgage. And my name's on the mortgage. I pay the mortgage. I pay all the utilities. Chris Chizzy still lives here. And she's free to live here for as long as she needs to find a new house. Oh, that's incredibly generous, Wiggly. Oh, my gosh. No. There were times when, you know, I'm independent. I've been independent for, 2005? So 2005, and even before that, I've been self-employed by myself, and I'm a great boss, except I don't pay very well. So sometimes I can't keep up with my tax quarterlies, and it's not always because I don't have the money. Sometimes it's because I don't have money, but because I just am doing so much shit that I don't have. How am I even supposed to figure? You know, it's hard. Okay, it's hard for me to do this. I need some help doing this. I need someone to help me to do this. But I'm the only person that is doing this. So, there were times that I owed money, but I always set up a payment plan, and I would, you know, $300 a month always come out on this day, and I never missed a payment, and blah blah blah. I'm always good for the money. But when Chizzy should have had a $1,000 refund or whatever, well, guess what? The government takes it out because we're married. So they take that out. Boom, the whole thing. So she doesn't get a return. And, you know, it's sort of, there was some rocky things between Christy and I. Now things are very, very cool. She had a boyfriend very early on after she wanted a divorce. And, you know, who cares? But things are good between us as far as getting along and being cordial. And, of course, they must be because of what I just said. But, I mean, realistically, I could just say, you know, sorry. It's 50-50. 50-50 in the state of Pennsylvania. There is no there's no wrong person. Like, I can't say I get money because you didn't want to be married to me anymore and I spent a lot of money to go to counseling for X amount of months and da 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 da. There's no fault. It's 50-50. Burp, burp. So I could have just said, hey, you know, sorry, but we are married and 50-50 and like that. Because all my money went into the now, went into us being comfortable now, us being able to enjoy our lives now, and the things that we would enjoy our lives now with would also last into the future, and all my monies went into that. The yard stuff, the fixing the home, the new additions to the home, the anything you could think of, fun things, happy things, just the sheer technology of this home is pretty amazing. And that's where my money went, and her money was supposed to go towards our retirement. And so that we would be able to retire and have a little nest egg and like that. Well, when she wants a divorce, guess what happened? She got to take advantage of all the fun stuff and all the stuff for, you know, the present that we lived for those years, because Team Lovey was never gonna, there was never something that Team Lovey couldn't overcome. That's what I was told. And now, what do I have for a future? Nothing, because that was her part of the money splitting stuff. So I could have just said, you know, sorry, 50-50. We were married. We shared the debts. But now I feel, like I said, I feel differently. And I did feel that way one time when I thought I was getting big time shafted. Because there's all these little lies and things. I don't want to get into that. But anyway, there was a time where I just felt like, yeah, fuck you, you know. Too bad. But now it's like, well, you can live here for free since November. And, you know, it was set to be, it would be only till May, but I'm like, you know, if you don't find a house by May, don't worry about it. You can stick around, do whatever. And that's to help work off towards the money, that was taken out of her tax refunds, because it went to help pay towards my tax refunds. And I can't just give her her refund, because I am paying $300 a month because that's what fits into my budget. And I need help with my budget, number three. But number one is, that's what I can afford, and I never miss a payment on that. And I can't help that the government, you know, sucks money out, and there's little I could do about it. There's some things I could try to do, and they haven't worked. Whatever, tax immunity or whatever like that. So that's that. So why did I even bring this up? Because I just bought the house, and at the end of this year, I might not be able to write off the interest on the house, because that's going away. Writing off college tuition, or the taxes on college tuition, or interest on college, whatever the hell it was about college tuition, is going to be gone from being able to be a write-off. And I think there might have been one more thing that is affecting us in a certain way. But basically, it's like, well, now, you know, I was counting on being able to write off that interest from the house. That was part of my idea of buying the house. But now I can't do that because it's going to be taken away. So, oh, and something about landlords. You know, he does shit that helps him directly. So he's a landlord. And so basically it's like, well, you can't own a house and you can't go to college. So why don't you just rent one of my apartments for the rest of your life and go work in the coal mines, because you're not going to get an education. And we want to bring, you know, clean coal. You could be one of the people that cleans the coal off after they dig it out. You just take your soap and water and your brush and just do it with toothpaste or whatever, and there's your clean coal. As he believed that you make clean coal by washing it. And I think there was one more thing in there, like I mentioned, that had to do with wanting to keep middle class and poor people and just about anybody that's not a millionaire not able to afford a house, and not able to get an education unless your family is very wealthy, or, you know, there's some type of better plan, or I don't know what, scholarship or whatever. I just know it's going to be hard for people that work and go to college if they can't write off part of their tuition. So there they want to, you know, just keep you stupid. And this is supposed to make us world leader, you know, in technology and everything else. What about our robots? Why can't we become, we have some great robot manufacturers here. But the disparage, the differences between pays is, you know, ridiculous. You could look that up and see how fucking insane that is. And that brought me back to thinking about billionaires again today, because I don't know, I heard something. And I thought, you know, well, you know, Bill Gates, they give a lot of money with their foundation and da da da. And but you know what I'm thinking? You know, yeah, that's great. He sure is helping a lot of people. Sure is giving a lot to charity, getting computers to people that in other countries and poor, maybe the poor in America, I'm unsure, and buying them computers and getting them internet so they could become smarter and progress and, you know, things like this. But he's still a billionaire. And I still have a problem with billionaires. And just like I have a problem with Trump before he became president. I have a problem with Trump because he was a millionaire, filed bankruptcy, what, five times, whatever. So there he just stole the taxpayers' money to remain a millionaire. And then he says he's also a billionaire, which no one takes seriously. But to even become a multimillionaire like that, you have to be a scumbag. You have to be a scumbag to have that much money. There's just no way that you're going to make that much money being a nice person. And you can say, oh, well, look at Oprah Winfrey. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't have a lot of good things to say about Oprah Winfrey. I'm sure she stepped on a lot of toes. I'm sure that she was outraged by someone else's popularity or whatever, and we got to stop this. And now, this is all conjecture, but I can't see it not being that way. And she did take advantage of people's gullibility with all of her, you know, psychic, the secret and all that bullshit, blame the victim, and all of her, you know, natural remedies and all this other shit that she jumped on a bandwagon. You can call that being a scumbag, because I certainly do, because she should know better. She's making all this money. She has a talk show, which she's supposed to be responsible for. So you shouldn't be in the pocket like, you know, Montel Williams. Holy Christ. He had fingernails on all the time. Ruining people's lives. But I see Oprah as trying new ventures and things like this. And I think that if you have that type of situation where, okay, you have a lot of money, but it's all in your projects, what you're trying to do. There's still a limit on how much money should be in your bank. And I don't think you could be ethical by being a, there. I don't think any billionaire could possibly be ethical or part of the human race. And people that listen to the show a lot hear me say this a lot. And I just can't see how you can have multi-million dollars. There's got to be some sort of cutoff where you're not giving back enough to the community. All this money isn't just coming out of thin air for you. All this money is coming from other people. It's other people's money that is now filtering to you because of whatever happened, that you now want to collect money. You want to eat money. Roll around in it. Uncle Scrooge. Climb up a ladder and dive into your money. And I always said it, which is, you know, people have more belief that this could happen to me than I ever think could happen to me. But if I somehow became a millionaire, I made some investments here, whatever, what would I need to live the rest of my life? Well, now that I'm closer to death and don't have any siblings and probably will not, I do have a girlfriend, and she's in fact my fiance, and I want to get married immediately, but she lives in another country, and the fiance visas take anywhere between 6 months and a year to do things the right way. But I cannot wait to marry this person. We are just so in love, and we've been in contact for well over a year. Talk to each other hours a day, at least 2 hours a day. And I, of course, went over there right away after it looked like we might be starting a good relationship. And she's so damn perfect for me, and I'm so perfect for her. And because it comes spontaneously, when you get in relationships with people overseas, sometimes it's like, meh. But she said she would never wanted to come back to America because she had a bad experience here with her first husband. And there's all these other factors and whatever. Now I really forgot where I was. Holy cripes. Did the butt. Talked about wanting to keep us down. I can't rewind the tape. This is all live. I'm going to take a sip of my Diet Coke with Zesty Blood Orange. Because I don't know why I would bring up my wife. My soon-to-be wife. Soon-to-be in over a year wife. I forget this damn divorce finish. You see, you can't start filing all this paperwork, complicated paperwork, until you're divorced. And it's final and in writing and all that. Well, let's see. I really can't think of what I was talking about. And don't yell at your radio. It's not going to help. So maybe I'll just start talking about something else. we're at 51:21. I only want to go an hour with my blabbing. I'm going to stick to that. It's just nice to get behind the stick again and see what can happen. Oh, I did want to play some parts of this. Unboxed. Pick it a buck recordings. Where the heck's my Super Meat Boy? Here it is. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well. Oh, this isn't even plugged in. And this is great for radio. Wasting time like this. Let's see what happens. Let's find out. I don't know where in this I would be.
Me, but if I'm the only one on there. You know,
okay, this is the part
I wanted. Dungeons.
This is the part I wanted.
If I had a nickel for every game that I yelled in, I'd have two nickels and a penny. Because the one was an afterthought from the premiere video. They use that.
Sorry, there's some hum in this, but that's just the way it is.
No, you know, I could do other voices, you know, like... Do you dare brave dangerous dungeons?
Okay, this is a direct I don't want to say affront. This is a direct reaction to 52. Okay, we're good. This is a direct reaction to I was keeping in touch with Team Meat, of course, because they said it was going to be Super Meat World. And I even did voice work for that, which never came to fruition. And probably will not. But Tommy called me back up and said, you know, you're the voice, Super Meat Boy. You gotta do this. And I also did Guacamelee Super Turbo Championship Edition. That's me on there too. But I was keeping in touch with Edgar as well. Edgar. I was still keeping in touch with Edmund. I say, hey, you know, if you have anything to throw me, I'm here for you. And I noticed that I was not in the binded person. I just been playing it. Isaac. I wasn't doing any voice for The Binding of Isaac. He said, well, I'm working on something now, The Binding of Isaac, but you're definitely not the voice for that. And so this is sort of a direct response to this. And it just came at the end. You know, there's other stuff here. Wait, what time am I at? 5:30? Okay. Let's see what I got.
Can you handle Super Meat Boy forever?
So I recorded all these things that no one ever asked for. Let's see.
Oh, Super Meat Boy forever. Will you ever win forever?
So let me get to the 5:23. So I did all these different things that, like I said, no one asked for, and it will probably never be used.
From the premiere video.
Okay,
use that.
So let's listen to me talk this. And remember, this is sort of a reaction.
No, you know, I can do other voices, you know, like, do you dare brave dangerous dungeons? Things like that. I could do my regular voice. Hey, everybody, I'm Wiggly. Yo, check it out. I'd talk. I do not dare gravity voice.
I think I was trying
to... Listen up, maggot. They all sound like me, but if I'm the only one on there, you know, nobody knows.
I was trying to do the Dr. Claw, but I can't do Dr. Claw on demand. It has to just come naturally, like a volcano. And the next time I do Dr. Claw, I have to try to remember how I got into it. So that's why I just did gravel voice.
A gun that can destroy time. What else?
I'm a little boy.
I never tried that before. Maybe Stinky can do some voiceovers.
Stinky yeah? stopped in no. and did that.
Who cares?
Well, now I'm going to roll a 20-sided dice. Shoe fell off, fell in a bog hole.
I'm not even doing things
like that.
Good.
Why do I always have to do yelling? Here, let me read this. There's something going on at the local video arcade. Something totally insane, outrageously hilarious, very sexy, and thoroughly entertaining. The hit film, Joysticks. See, that's I care about what I'm reading. That's the important part. Super Wiggly forever. Ask for it now. No one will listen. Vote frequently and often.
Yep, that was that. Not too entertaining. Not as entertaining as I thought it might be. Sorry, everybody. Well, this show has been definitely a return to behind a mic. And maybe that's it. Let's see what this is.
The first week of August just became so hot, it's ready to explode! Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We talk games! Kyle, Wiggly, Atumwa. Big Bang 2010. All eyes will be on Atumwa. As we talk games, goes one-on-one with the universal singularity that started it all, Atumwa! The International Video Game Hall of Fame and Museum, Big Bang 2010! Atumwa! Do it!
I had so much fun doing that thing. And I've done voiceovers. Oh my gosh, I did voiceovers for Bethlehem Catholic High School. Can you imagine? I've been getting in there, Aaron Ra. Check him out. I dig that guy, Aaron Ra. He's doing this whole jiggle-maglaggy on species and everything else. So I think that's it, everybody. 5849. Thank you, 5849. Hopefully I'll get be able to be behind a mic again and finish that story after I listened to a playback of whatever I was talking about, because I completely forgot. And feel free, if you see me in the street, feel free to goose me. I don't mind. You know, pinch my butt real hard. I don't care. You can bite my butt real hard. I won't care. And also, you know, spank. You can spank. I don't care. So just know that the next time that you see me out and about. How am I doing on time? 59, 27, 20. Hey, that's it, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I hope something was entertaining about this episode of A Wiggly World. I hope it gave you something to question, something to ask questions about, because that's really all I ever try to bring forth. Let me turn to another, because it's got some hiss on it. Piss on it. I just, you know, everything is about not trying to find the answers, but trying to find the right questions. So I hope rationality can win out. I hope that logic can win out. I hope that skepticism could be believed when someone says, and I was a skeptic. You know what? No, you probably were not skeptic about whatever you're talking about. Largest majority, I would say, were probably not skeptical, because they probably didn't know what questions to ask. So listen to Aaron Ra. He's got a lot of cool videos out there. Really, he gives you some answers, you know. He gives you some answers, which might help you ask better questions. Like, oh yeah, you know, oh yeah, that. That's about it, everybody. Hey, I thank you very much. Now we're at 155. I'm Wiggly, A Wiggly World.
I used to worry when Thanksgiving Day was near. What can I give my girl to fill her heart with cheer? But I solved that problem, I'm a clever boy. I know exactly how to fill her heart with joy. I'm gonna give my girl a goose for Thanksgiving. It won't surprise her, since I did it once before. She jumps just like the deuce every time she gets a goose. Perhaps I ought to give her two or more. I wish I could afford to buy her a turkey, but turkeys cost so much and I'm out of work, you see. So I'll just give my girl a goose, a good old-fashioned goose. I wish someone would do the same for me. I'm gonna give my girl a goose for Thanksgiving. My friends all tell me that the plan is very smart. In fact, her daddy said to me very confidentially, that's just the way he won her mama's heart. So if you wanna make your darling feel happy, then take a tip from me and do the same thing too. Go on and give your girl a goose, a nice, soft, tender goose, and you'll discover if her love is true. I don't mean gander, a good old-fashioned goose will do.